prayer. Father God, we're here as children of God to learn and to grow in our faith towards you. And Father, I pray that through this we do learn more about living like a believer, living like we trust in you and believe and rely on you for everything. And Father, I pray that today be a day that hearts are penetrated, that they're soft enough to receive what you have and to let your own word, your holy scriptures, get into their hearts and minister and to do what your word can do, Lord, to cut through the deceptions or missed thoughts or missed trainings or whatever it is that they've been through in life, Lord, that you'll get through and to help people to understand you and be set free by faith in Jesus, in you, and your plan and what you've done. And Father, we're praising you for these things. In Jesus' name we say, amen. 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 So living like a believer, part three. Okay, and again, I said it's going to be on faith. Faith will be kind of like the third part in where we're at. That's why it's the number three here. But the first step, if you remember, was being born again. Okay, you can't live like a believer if you're not born of the Spirit. It's something that really is ingrained into us. Jesus said that without such, you would not see the kingdom of God. You can't enter into the kingdom except you be born again or born of the Spirit. Okay, people that are a Christian in name only have really... The ones that have never really established a personal relationship with Jesus are living by the power of their own flesh. Okay, they're living by the power of their own will. Okay, their willpower. They can be good people. They can do good things aside from having a relationship with Jesus. And people have figured out how to do that. Okay, kind of Christians in name only, but not really a believer. Inevitably, they will become frustrated. Okay, because it is hard to go on doing that. You eventually will realize at some point that you fall short. Hopefully, you understand that to the point that people do that they will actually come to Jesus. Okay, and unfortunately, for those kind of people, in the end, they end up perishing because they have not followed the instructions of God. Okay, and that's number two, if you remember, is to follow the instructions of God, namely His Word. Okay, that's the understanding that We follow His what is outlined in God's Word, in His Holy Bible. Okay, when you believe and you accept the Holy Bible as the infallible Word of God, okay, you learn to depend on it. Okay, you learn to rely on God's Word. You learn to trust in it, to have an authority that when it is spoken or as God spoke it, that it will accomplish the will and the ways of God. Okay, that His will is in there for us and that we're able to draw that out and then understand God's ways because He didn't leave us without some instruction. Understanding that the will of God is something we talked about a lot last week and how critical that is for your life, and it's found where? Where's the will of God found for you? You better have it right here in your hand. The will of God for you is in there. Remember, we even looked at some scriptures that said, this is the will of God for you, that you be sanctified. Okay? Every man would know how to possess his body and his temple in honor, okay, and to live out your life that way. So that is part of it. But we understand that the Bible was put together giving us the exact information that we needed to know to be born again and to accept Christ as our Savior, be born again. But it absolutely contains the will of God and the implied will of God. Okay, because there are verses that say this is the will of God for your life and da-da-da, it'll tell you. But there's a lot that is written in between the lines of all the rest of the Bible that is the implied will of God. Okay, God desires your holiness. God desires your sanctification. We talked about last week, being set apart. God desires and His will is that you live like a believer, not like a lost person. Okay, live like you're under the covenant. And so His implied will is in the Word of God as well. Okay, you are a very complex being. Okay, and God knew that. Okay, you live in a complicated world. Okay, very multifaceted. There's a lot to it, a lot going on. And it includes the natural physical world, okay, that we live in, the natural circumstances. You hit your thumb with a hammer, it hurts kind of stuff. There's the natural five senses that we live by. And then there's our emotions and our feelings that we deal with in this life, in this world. But then there's also the spiritual realm, okay, the unseen realm, okay, that the spiritual atmosphere. And you can and will be successful only if you read and begin to understand the instruction manual that was given to you by the master inventor. And remember the invention stories of last week of, you know what, God is the master inventor of you, and he gave you some instruction on how to live that out, or how to fix what gets off track or broken or whatever it is. So that's leading up to today. Today we're going to start talking about faith. Okay? We're going to talk about faith, being a believer that lives by faith. Okay, we're going to start with Hebrews 10:23. We're instructed in the Word in Hebrews 10:23 to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that is promised. We know that God is faithful and he has given us his Word, and therefore we are going to put faith in him and hold fast our profession, or maintain that, continue to believe and confess our faith towards God without wavering. Okay, you guys know what the waver means. Here's a wave. Okay, so wavering is kind of like wavering back and forth. We don't want to do that with our faith. We want to be solid, stand in it, walk in it, trust in God, and try not to be straight off track or to lose faith or to lose heart in any way. Last week we talked a lot about how God's plan includes living a life that is pleasing to him. That was the implied will of God, that you live a life that is pleasing to him. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, so coming to God and believing and trusting in him, knowing that without faith it is literally impossible to please God. Okay, faith is intricate in our relationship with God. Okay, faith is not something, or not describing something that we put in our own abilities. Okay, well, I have faith that I can get this done, or, you know, I have faith in so-and-so that they'll come through for me, or, you know, I have faith in my employer, or whatever it is. That's not what we're talking about. Okay, faith is a belief in God. Okay, a belief that God is real to the point that we will go to him with every aspect of our life. A faith in God. We believe that he is real. Remember, 11:6, we just read, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God, okay, must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, that's a side effect. Okay, but we come to God because we believe that he is. Okay, that's faith. That's the beginning. That's our initiation of our walk with God. We're believing in him that he is real enough that we're going to go to him. Okay, in a time of difficulty, a time of rejoicing, whatever it is, everything in between, we know that we can go to God because he is real. Okay, and he loves us, he cares for us, he's going to be there, he helps us, even though we can't see him. Okay, and I'll get to that. Proverbs 3:5-6, most of you know this one, that we trust in the Lord with all our heart. We lean not unto our own understanding, but in all our ways we acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Sounds easy enough, right? Sounds really easy. Let's trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Okay, let's not rely on our own understanding, our own earthly wisdom to try to figure things out. Things get difficult. It's God saying that we just turn to him and say, just trust in me, and he will direct our path. He will guide us. He will work it out for his glory and our advantage. Okay, so we don't try to do it on our own ability or use our own thought processes, our own human earthly wisdom to try to figure things out, our own skills and ability. But here's why people struggle with this, and it's really kind of two parts to it, but you'll see it. Okay, the God that we serve is an unseen and eternal God. Okay, those are the two things. Okay, very, very few people have ever had a physical one-on-one, face-to-face encounter with the Almighty God. Okay, remember there's some where they got to see his back and other experiences that they had. Some saw the transfiguration, which was real close. But, you know, there's things where there wasn't a lot of face-to-face encounters with God. Okay, and a lot of people do not grasp the infinite and timelessness of God as well. Okay, or either, or whatever, however you want to say that. Okay, God is not confined so much to time and those kind of restraints. Remember, a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. His day and our day don't quite match up. And I don't know how to, we want to make that match up, but sometimes it just doesn't. God can take things like a healing that should take, you know, 6 months of therapy and physical therapy and all these things. Somebody has been, you know, had a broken arm and they're in a cast. And, you know, when you first come out of that cast, you could hardly move your hand and arm and all that. Okay, and God has taken that process and sped it up to that. Okay, where people are like, whoa, cast comes off and they're doing this. They're, you know, praising the Lord and giving God glory. So that is, God is, that's a concept of God that is hard for some people to grasp. That infinite timelessness of God, that He can do things that are beyond our human ability even to be able to put it into a time frame. I would think if God was here still walking in the flesh, we know Jesus came and the Word God came, was made flesh and came and lived among us. But if He was still walking here on the earth, like we could go through life with Him at our side, kind of hand in hand with Jesus, walking along like He's our life coach, right? And every situation we'd get into, we would have our best friend right here, and we would just turn to him. You know, what are you going to do next? What should we do? How should we handle this? It would be so nice to have that one-on-one continual having him right there by your side. Imagine if you're going through life, and in any experience that you come up against or come into that is completely unfamiliar to you, which for most of us, you know, my wife and I were talking about being in our 40s, you know, and pushing 50s stuff and all these things, and kind of we're in new ground, right? You wake up every day with different aches and pains or whatever it is, okay? And so it's cutting new ground. And so literally for every person, every day could be one of these experiences. We're in unfamiliar territory day after day. But imagine yourself going through an experience that is completely unfamiliar to you, and yet you're going into it with a well-known expert in this field at your side. No matter what you step into, he's going to know the right way to do it, the answer. He has it all figured out. Now, I'll give you an example. My brother Mike, he's a great guy. He's a Christian guy. He's an auto body guy. Okay, he has done auto body since the time we were in high school. He painted my first car, 73 Pontiac Le Mans. We painted it with a Wagner power painter out in my dad's shop. Okay, bright fire engine red kind of stuff, and put big tires on it and all the stuff. It was a good deal, but it spurred something in him. He went off to a Votech for a couple years up in Minnesota, ended up being an auto body guy. That's just what he's always done. He tried college, didn't like it, and went into auto body. He liked that part of life. Okay, well, he's been painting cars and fixing dents and putting bumpers on and doing all this stuff for 30 some years. I mean, a long time. He's done it in big dealerships in different states. He's now in Oklahoma. He has his own body shop. It's the second one that he's owned. He started one in South Dakota as well. And he's really good at what he does. In fact, I'd say he's not just average at what he does. He's an expert in the field. People have called him from other states, other dealerships, people that he has encountered along the way, and just begged him to come work for them. Because he's good at what he does. He's smart about it. He understands it. And he knows how to make the money for the business. Okay? And part of that is being a perfectionist at what he does. Okay? He knows as a young guy in auto body, I think his first job was with a dealership in South Dakota, and he learned pretty quickly that comebacks were a bad thing. Okay? And a comeback is when you paint somebody's car and you say, yeah, it's done, send it home. And the owner takes it home and they find a flaw in it. There's a run in the paint. There's a scuff here. They forgot to put a couple screws in. Something's rattling was always a big one. And those are comebacks. The customer brings it back to the dealer and says, I'm coming back to you because there's still a problem. It's not fixed. It's not good enough or whatever. And that costs the dealer money. And my brother figured that out at a young age, and a young auto body guy. And so from that, he became a perfectionist to the point he would not call an owner of a car until he had gone over every detail of that situation to make sure there was not going to be a comeback. And that's what makes him a good owner, a good shop leader, a guy, because he has that in him to do that. Okay, well, I know that he knows what he's doing. Okay, so whenever my brother and I will get together, even to this day, inevitably we end up working on cars. Okay, he's a car guy and so am I, and so we're out putting running boards on his new truck he got, we're putting new taillights in his truck, or, you know, fixing a headlight in my nephew's car, or pulling a dent out, or looking at hail dents in the car to see how much it would take to fix, and he's one of those guys that I know in those situations that he knows what he's doing. Okay, I take the back seat. Okay, I just kind of step back and, what do you think, Mike? And I'll hand him wrenches, right? Because he's the expert. I know that he knows what he's doing much better than I do in those cases. And so I want to make sure that it's done right. And I know that if I turn things over to him and let him do it, that he's going to get things done when we follow his advice and his instructions. It will turn out the best. The best case scenario. Okay, jobs that I have done, I like to do a lot of body too, and a job that would take him 2 hours, I'm working on for 2 or 3 days, you know, and it's just, he's got all the equipment and stuff, of course, but he just knows what he's doing. He knows which way to, how to do stuff and whatever. So I know that when he gives me instructions or advice, I should listen carefully. And I do. I call him. I guess I'll use my car, but when I bought the orange Charger, some of you guys know, it came with a little dealer emblem on the back that they glue onto your bumper, right? And I didn't like it. So take a picture of it, send it to Mike, figuring he's removed hundreds of these. He'll know how to do it. So I send it to him and say, hey, bro, how do I get rid of this thing? And right away, he snaps back, said, just take some good old fish line and work it in behind that and cut it off. And then he sent me something saying, and then use this stuff to remove the glue that'll be left behind. He knew exactly how to do that. Okay, so what I found out is that doing things his way is going to make things turn out for the very best way possible. And what that means is, I trust him. Okay, all that is to say, I trust him. I know that he's got the right answer. I know that he'll get things figured, and that's going to turn it out for the best. But of course, in those scenarios or in that relationship with my brother and I, he is a real flesh and blood person that I can converse with. Okay? He's somebody that is right there that I can ask, that I can hand the wrench to, that I can know that, you know what, even if I walked away, it's still going to get done kind of thing. He's right there. But how do we trust in an unseen God? Okay? How do we trust in the God that, you know, it's kind of like the wind. We see his workings, but we don't necessarily know where he comes from or where he goes. We don't quite get the whole full picture all the time. How do we get to the point where we are willingly taking the back seat and carefully listening to God? Okay, waiting for him to say, no, grab this wrench. No, do this, do that. Okay, I'm glad that you're asking those questions because the answer is this. In order to get to that point where we can see the unseen, it has to be by faith. Okay? It has to be by faith. Okay? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 3. He said, now the faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Your faith is the evidence of things not seen. And then it says in verse 3, through faith we understand that the world's were framed by the what? The Word of God, which we've been studying on the last 2 weeks, how important the Word of God is. Okay, through faith we understand that the worlds we live in were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen, we know were not made by things which do appear. Okay, I'll read you that again out of the Amplified. It says that by faith, that is, with an inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power and the wisdom and the goodness of my brother Mike. No, that's that scenario, right? But where it's a trust and enduring confidence in the power, the wisdom, and goodness of God, through that we understand that the worlds, this whole universe, the ages we live in, were framed and created, formed, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Okay? Faith is your connection to God. Okay? Faith is a releaser. It's like God has already sent and already given all these things. Okay? He has given you His Word to stand on. He has given you the Holy Spirit to empower you for witnessing and to be able to understand the things of God. But it is by faith that you will see and appropriate what God has given you. Okay? It is by faith. He is poured out of Himself. And it is by faith that we will see in the spiritual realm enough to be able to grab these things and make it our own. Okay, see, you do not have faith in God for things, but you have faith in God for what He's already given you to manifest, to see it in your own hand. Okay, what He is, you have faith in God that He has already given you these things. That's why we pray, and a lot of times we pray, you know, for healing. And Father God, I thank you that you healed us. By your stripes, we are healed. Okay, and it's all that past tense stuff. He has poured that out from heaven. And it's just up to us by faith. We reach out and take that. We receive what He has already given us. Okay? Your faith toward God is foundational. Okay, it is by faith that you initiated, okay, and initially believed on your Savior for salvation. Okay, it is by faith that you have been made righteous and made in right standing with God today. And it is now by faith that you will live out your life as a believer, as a Christian. Okay, the book of Acts, most of you know, the book of Acts and the book of Luke were both written by Luke, and he was the only Gentile writer of the New Testament. Okay, the rest of the guys were Jews, and they had a different perspective. And so when Luke writes, he kind of comes across with this. He wanted to make sure that that everybody knew that the gospel was for everybody. It wasn't just for the Jews. And so he writes from that Gentile perspective. And in one place, he not one place, all throughout the book of Acts, especially and in Luke, but mainly in Acts, he wants to make sure that people know that the gospel was for everybody and that nobody was excluded. Okay, not one single person was excluded, whether they're Jew or Gentile, black, white, male, female, didn't matter. Nobody was excluded from being able to accept the grace of God offered through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is that qualifier for everybody. It's that level the playing ground. Doesn't matter who you are, if you're, you know, the president or me or whoever you are, faith is the qualifier. Faith is the one that's going to get you saved, and the one that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, believe on what He did, you are saved. Okay, in Acts chapter 15, Luke is describing Peter. And Peter says this in 15:9, he said, "And God put no difference between us and them, between Jew and Gentile, purifying their hearts by faith, just like He did us." And so he was making that point that, you know what, it doesn't matter where you're at, it matters that you have faith. Okay, faith is that factor that gives us the same ability to receive the gift of righteousness. Okay, it doesn't matter who you are. We're all born into the world with a sin barrier, okay, separating us from God, but it is by faith that we can all obtain the grace necessary for our salvation and our eternal life in heaven. It is all by faith. Okay, let me show you some things. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness which is of God or from God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Okay, for there is no difference. Okay, we're all in the same category. All had sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, as I was writing this, I thought, you know what, I'm going to stick with, I have a whole thing on Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, the hall of faith, and really going through and explaining what faith can accomplish in your life. Because faith will move mountains, right? Faith will close the lion's mouth. Faith will get the bills paid at times, right? It happens. We know faith will bring the cows home when we need to brand. My wife prayed for that. God does things through faith, and faith will accomplish much in life. And so I hope to get in, we plan to get into more of that next week. But I felt like now is as good a time as any to remind you that we are saved by faith and not by works. Okay, and we are not saved by the keeping of the laws in order to maintain our right standing with God. Okay. You will not maintain your right standing with God by keeping the laws. Okay, there's a new covenant that we live under. Let me show you some scriptures. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. He says, "Now we know what things soever the law saith, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Okay, God put us all into one category, and that was guilty. And then he says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. For by the law is simply the knowledge of sin. Okay, remember, we'll read it in a minute, but sin is that schoolmaster. It's the one that points us to Jesus. Look at Romans 5:1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice now in the hope of the glory of God. Romans 9, verse 30 through 32, he says, what should I say then, that the Gentiles, remember he was explaining the Jew and the Gentiles and all these things, should I say that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith or by faith? But Israel, speaking of the Jews, which followed after the law to try to obtain righteousness, have not obtained to the law of righteousness. Why or wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone named Jesus. Okay, they stumbled at grace. And many Christians today are still stumbling at grace. It can't be that easy. It can't be by faith alone. It can't be without me having to earn something or keep myself right with God. It's got to be more to that. It's you're saved by faith and you've got to do all this other stuff. Okay, now I'm not discounting James and what he writes about faith and works, because when you live by faith, you will have good works going through you. It's going to happen. Okay, and that's where he's saying the evidence will be there when you're living by faith. Okay, now you cannot make yourself and you cannot keep yourself righteous by keeping an outward set of rules. Okay, I call it irked in my spirit this week when I read something that a fellow Christian had put out and spreading it around, and it portrayed this God that was not going to be pleased with you until you did the good works. Or in other words, he was promoting the keeping of the law as a way to earn a favorable status with God. Okay? And it contradicts the scriptures. Okay? The Bible is very clear that it is faith that makes you a believer. Okay? It is faith that saves you. Anytime you set a list in front of you and you begin to check off that list as an effort, trying to ensure that God is loving you and that making sure that you're forgiven, and you know, when you do that, you're walking according to the flesh, okay, and not by faith. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay, so forcing yourself to keep a set of rules when God says you are not under the law but under grace is not pleasing to God. Okay, that is not getting anything accomplished for you. Faith is pleasing unto God. In fact, to live that way where you're trying to check off the list and I did this right today, I did this right today, and oh man, I'm a loser, I didn't get this one done. Okay, when you live that way, you're actually living in outright rebellion to God's word. Okay, it is rebellion to live according to the law and not according to faith. Okay, he has called us to live by faith. When people are saying that, you know, they try to tell you to keep the law to be right with God, okay, the people that are saying that are doing that because they simply do not have enough faith to believe that they are saved by faith and not by works. Okay, it is saved by faith and you got to do all these things. And Peter got in trouble for it. Paul rebuked him in front of everybody and said, wait a minute, you're trying to get these guys to go back under the law and do things that I've told you and God told you don't have to do anymore. And you're making them do it so that they feel like they have to earn this place with God. And I won't get into all that today, but another place, Paul admonished the Galatians. You remember that one, okay? And he did it without restraint. He didn't hold back. And I'm kind of not holding back this morning, kind of telling you the way it is, okay? Because they were going back under the law to try to maintain their walk with God. Okay, so Paul says this to him in Galatians 3:1. He says, oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who deceived you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently been set forth, crucified among you? And he says, this only would I learn of you, or this is what I want to know. Received ye the Holy Spirit by keeping the law, or did you receive him by faith? And then he says, are you so foolish that having begun in the Spirit by faith, are you now made perfect by your flesh? Why would you try to maintain what you didn't earn by works? Okay, you didn't get it by works, and you can't maintain it by works. It is by faith that you were saved initially, and it is by faith that you will maintain your salvation in righteousness. You just walk by faith. Don't complicate it. Don't add your own 2 cents to it. Okay, that's what happens when people do not take God's word as infallible. Okay, it's not complete. Okay, it's not enough. What Jesus did on the cross was not enough for me. I have to add stuff to it. That's what it means to go back under the law. It's going back under a covenant. Okay, your Bible is split up into 2 parts for a reason. Okay, Old Covenant, Old Testament, and New Testament. I'm not saying they're not together and they don't mesh. I am grateful that they do. We need every single word in the Bible. Okay, but what I am saying is that we live under the covenant of grace. God saved us through Jesus Christ, not through the keeping of the law. Okay, as a believer the last 2,000 some years, this is the way it is for us. Okay, and we have a record of it, that God sent His own Son into the world that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish. Okay, but the ones that do not believe in Him do perish. Okay, that's His covenant. That's His blessing to us by giving us Jesus. Okay, people that willingly void the ways of God by adding their 2 cents to it, to God's word, are not taking God at His word. Okay, they're saying that, yeah, I see there's a New Testament, I see there's an Old Testament, but they probably just don't understand it. I'll give them that. Okay, they probably just don't understand what happened. The game changed when Jesus came. Okay, Jesus hangs on the cross and says, "It is finished." He did something that was so profound that many people are missing it today, and it was giving us God's grace through faith. Okay, Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. I better move on here. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." But so that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. Okay, but the man that does them shall live in them. If you want to try to keep the law, you better keep all, 903 or something? There's a lot. Okay, it's more than just the 10 if you want to really walk it out. Okay, and that's where I know so many Christians that are trying to mix the two together. Okay, yes, I'm a Christian. I live by faith in Jesus, but I've got to go to church on Saturdays. I've got to do this. They have all these certain rules and regulations that they've got to do on top of God's grace, as if His grace wasn't enough. Okay, that verse 12 says the law is not of faith. Okay, so trying to keep the law as a way to please God is not of faith. It means you don't have faith to believe God that you're saved by faith. Okay, so we got to get out from under that. Believe God by faith and trust in Him. Works to obtain or to try to maintain a good standing with God is nothing but doubt. It means that I don't think God and His word is good enough for me. I'm going to add to it and supplement it with my own actions. Okay, because God needs me, right? He needs me to do these good things, and that'll make it right. Okay, in order to adequately teach you how to live like a believer, I have to drill this into you, because you must know how to live by faith and not according to your own works and efforts and performance. If we are still living for Jesus, we're living for God, I'm going to do this for God, you have not gotten it yet. Okay, we live from Jesus. Okay, He lives in us, He loves us and cares for us. He did all the work. He did what needed to be done so we could sit down at the right hand of the Father on high. And now we enter into His rest. And we trust in Him that you did it. I'm just going to live it out. Thank you, Jesus. This is a good life. I'm going to live it out by faith. Okay, Galatians 3:24. He said, the law was our schoolmaster simply to bring us to Christ. Okay, if I did not know that, thou shalt not kill, steal, do all these things, if I didn't know all those, I wouldn't have known they were wrong. So when I looked at my life and I could check off 10 or 9 out of the 10 that I had done wrong, okay, when I got to that point, I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble. I need a Savior. How am I going to get out of this? I can't do all these. And you begin to look at that law as a schoolmaster. It's like the teacher that says, you're in trouble. You need Jesus. Okay? And that's what the schoolmaster did. It turned us to Jesus. Okay? So that we could be justified by faith. But then after faith has come, after you believe on Jesus, then you're no longer under that schoolmaster. For you're all the children of God simply by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, the Apostle Paul himself was a great example, and he used himself as the perfect example of this guy that he had every right to boast. He had every right to be confident in his own abilities. He had done everything right, and as far as a guy that could do the right things and knew what to do to kind of keep himself in right standing with God, he was the guy. And so he uses himself as an example, saying, I have done all these great things. I know how to do all this. But he came to the conclusion that all of his good works that were being done in an effort to please God were nothing but dung. Okay? Use your imagination. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Paul says, though I might also have confidence in my own flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he can trust in the flesh, I can trust even more. Okay? He's saying, I know what to do. So I was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. I know it top to bottom. Concerning zeal, I was persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. But he says, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, so that I may win and have Christ. And I can be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, I didn't earn it, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is simply through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness which is by or from God by faith. Okay, that's what he narrowed it all down to, that all his good works was nothing. Faith is what got him to where he needed to be. And that's what he understood. It is by faith that you please God. To live like a believer, then, you will live by faith. Okay, faith got us saved, but we're going to live it out now. We're going to live like a believer. You're going to walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, you will not be moved by the circumstances around you, but you'll be moved by God. You'll be moved by God's word that says, this is the promise to you. And you're moved by His Holy Spirit that leads and guides and prompts you and brings things to your mind and shows you what you should do or not do. Okay? Now we're going to spend at least one more week talking about faith as part of your walk with God. Okay, because as a believer, it is so crucial to understand what it means to live by faith and what it accomplishes in your life. Faith moves things. Okay, faith moves mountains. Okay, it doesn't necessarily move God. Okay, some people like to think my faith moved God. God moved because I had faith. No, God already moved. He already gave it through Jesus. He already blessed you. Your faith just reached out and grabbed it. Your faith appropriated that for your life. Your faith is what makes that stuff a reality. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Your faith is what has already been put in motion, and you're just reaching out by faith and taking that in. Okay, you're receiving of those things. Okay, it does not move God, but it releases the things of God on your behalf. Okay, now in this series, some of you have been along, and hopefully it's been good up to this point, but in my mind, we're just now getting to the good stuff. Okay, this has all been foundational. We got to get through this to get to where we're going, but you have to first have things settled in your heart, okay, that you trust God and His Word above all else. Okay, His Word is life unto us. We've got to have that. His Word is infallible. It's unchangeable. It is powerful. Okay, And in it, you will find His will for your life. You'll understand what He designed you for and why He did things the way that He did. Okay? Without understanding that we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay? You have to understand that your faith is where you began your walk with God. So now trusting in His plan of salvation through the completed works of Christ is where it's at. Okay, without fully understanding that you're saved by grace through faith and not by your own efforts, you will not be able to walk out the rest of your life as a believer without being somewhat seduced back into the performance and the works mentality. Okay, and that is frustrating. You'll fall short. You'll realize, oh man, I missed it again. I missed it again. Well, wasn't you supposed to be doing it? Jesus already did it. Okay, now you just appropriate that. Just receive what He did for you. Okay, there is no situation in your life that is beyond God's ability to move on your behalf. It's already been done. Okay, we just reach out and take it. And as you develop your faith, you can depend on God. You walk in Him, walk with Him in a one-on-one trusting relationship where you draw continually from His wealth, you draw from His expertise, you take the back seat. Start handing the wrenches to the guy that knows how to get it done, okay? And you're trusting in Him saying, I know that you know what you're doing, and I'm just going to kick back here and allow you to get the thing done the way it needs to be done, okay? When we trust in Him, we maintain ourselves on that path for the very best plan of God for our life, okay? That's what I want, the good and perfect will of God. Let it be done, okay? So we walk by faith to see that happen. Father God, we're praising You this morning. We're trusting You, Father. We're here because we are believers. We're here because we know that Your Word is true and life to us. And Father, we're praying that You just take us deeper and deeper with You. That, Father, we're in a place where we're not holding back anymore, but we're just picking our feet up and going with You. Father, we openly admit that we trust in You, that we're relying and dependent on You, that, Father, the very breath that we breathe, we take from You. Father, we thank You that You have poured out these gifts towards us and Your love towards us, Your forgiveness towards us. And Father, we just receive of that now into our life and live out the life as a believer. Father, we trust You. Thank You for it. Thank You for loving us unconditionally. Thank You for sending Jesus to do what we couldn't do. Thank You for pointing us to Jesus. And thank You for doing what needed to be done to say it is finished. Father, we love You this morning. We praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen.